When you're dealing mob, welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly, going to jump straight in. Have a deadly yarn there with our beautiful sister, Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist. And I broke my jaw trying to pronounce that. A beautiful profession. Recognising the importance of First Nations culture and health and healing past culture and economic injustice. So come to join me, my beautiful sister Vanessa. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm deadly. Thank you.
Of course you're deadly. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, sissy.
My people are from Yulpungati and in Cape York and Miriam or Murray Island in the Torres Strait.
Yes, beautiful footprints. So, look, you wear many hats. We talk about a social epidemiologist and a cultural broker and a senior decision maker. So enlighten us, please, about these hats that you wear and how it empowers you to operate and looking after our mob going into the future, sister.
Okay, so as a social epidemiologist, I look at behavioural patterns. Mm. And I used to do it a lot in data and then help translate it into policy and government policy as well as community policy and working with the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services. Mm.
You were doing that way in Sydney?
Yes, I've done that for a good 18 years of my life.
Okay. You decided to come home with your profession?
I did.
Good. And continue.
Yeah, and I was yarning to one of my friends, and she said to me, "It's about transference. It's about skills transference. How do we now bring our skill set into where we live with our community?" And I sat with that for a while, and and I thought, right, how do we do that? And when I left Sydney last year, I came home to look after my parents. I've got aging parents. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to take a chance and go back to Sydney and someone passes away and I spend all day traveling trying to come home. Yes, how do I bring my skill set home? And so that brings me into cultural brokering.
Cultural brokering.
Yes.
Yep.
And that senior decision-making role is part of what I've already sort of accomplished in my career as a social epidemiologist. Mm. And I sort of sat back and looked at it and went, well, you know what, I do a lot of negotiating discussions. I also do business plans. I also know how to look at data sets and I know how to, translate that into policy.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, was cultural brokering. But many years ago, my grandmother actually said to me back in 2004 or 2003. Mm. She said to me, we're listening to the radio and how the government was actually, not supporting our families and our kids. And my grandmother actually said to me in the Torres Strait, she said, go and teach them our culture before they kill our children.
Whoa. That's deep.
Yeah.
Deep message.
It was a
elder speaking. The wise ones.
Yep. And I remember saying to her, I've got cousins that don't work. I got a job. And she said, no, go.
Professional. Mm. Your grandmother is a professor.
Yes.
With that statement.
Yes.
Virtually like a little bitch slap to you. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Think you arrived. No.
No.
But you're open-minded, you're student for life, and you learn from your elder.
Mm.
And now you're running with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it opens so many more doors and cultural doors. Because, I was up in Mur on Murray Island. Yeah. And my dad passed away recently, so I went home for healing.
Condolences, darling.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. It's all good. It was the most beautiful thing was stepping on your own country.
Mm.
And, feeling that aspect of I'm home. Mm. And then I've also gone up to my family up in Cape York.
Yes.
And the same thing. And that whole feeling of, okay, I know what to do. I'm home.
You are where you need to be.
Mm. Exactly. Mm. And you start seeing things differently.
Yes.
And that brings us, and that helped me bring it all together. And so I started having these discussions back in last year with my colleagues, my business partners, Bibi Barber and Lydia Miller.
Big shout-out, sisters.
Yes, big shout-out to my sisters. And about developing a cultural embassy, and which is about putting our culture into digital technologies. Mm. And, like, you know, because that's as a social epidemiologist, I'm used to working with digital.
Sure.
With data.
Sure.
So it's that skills transference.
Sure.
You know, and bringing it back and saying, okay, what can I do?
The first people should be on that platform. 21st century.
Exactly. We shouldn't
60,000 years old.
We shouldn't wait 250 years to play catch up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's bitch slapping.
Yeah, thank you. That is. Yeah, with capital B.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of going back home to Murray Island.
Mm.
So I did two things. I was sitting down with the old people and I showed them my genealogy papers that I got done many, many years ago with a genealogy department from science department from La Trobe University.
Mm.
And it identified my mother, it did my bloodline, but only my mother's lines going back.
Yep.
And it went back 45,000 years for Cape York and the Torres Strait.
Oh, yes.
You know? That.
Powerful.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that's science. Mm. That's not ancestry.com.
No.
This is science. Thank this is a real science.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I remember sitting there and showing it to
Murray
them.
Got goosebumps here.
They sat there like the science, the elders. And the next minute, you know, like that conversation, like, and a couple of days later, I said to them, you know, I'm doing this thing in the blockchain.
Mm.
And I explained to them, like, you know, I want to bring the culture into the blockchain. And they were like, what is that? You know, like, and I'm explaining it, you know, it's digital technologies. We bring our culture into the digital technology world because we already have, you know, you think about it, we already have that connection to the spiritual world.
Mm.
The Age of Reason basically brought science and maths into the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now combined both. Because we've been here longer than 60-odd thousand plus years.
Yes.
And so as we come out the other side, it's like, well, now we're doing this digital technology and creating this Web 3. And how do we now preserve our cultural rights so that it's not stolen here as well?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there was a silence amongst the elders. And, you know, that silence was for me to go for a walk and let them all think about it.
Sure.
Now, when I came back, the first question they asked me, they didn't say to me like, oh, Vanessa, you know, how does this work? What do we do? Da, 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 da. There's nothing like that.
No.
Their very first question was, how do we maintain intellectual property?
Mm.
That right there tells you how evolving our culture is.
Yes. And also the permission in that question for you to go ahead.
Yeah. Right there.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was the steps are huge in that space.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's something I really wanted to share with people. And if they wanted more information, they can reach out to us.
Yes.
We've nearly finalised the web page.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're nearly, but we're at the same time, you know how these things happen really fast when the ancestors make a decision. Like, they're not waiting for us to finalise the web page. They've already made the decision. So we're going to be talking to the UK on a panel very soon. Mm. You know, we're doing all of these things globally.
Yes.
Talking about what we've done.
Yes.
And what we're doing.
Do you know of any other First Nation peoples on the globe who've done this?
I know people that are working with non-Indigenous people.
Yes.
But I don't know anybody where that's three Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people, women, that have stepped up to do this.
Sure, but there's no platform there for, like, American Indians, for example, any First Nation people on the globe.
There is a there's not a platform for, so no Indigenous, like, so let me say it like this. So we're the first Indigenous owned, okay? But there have been countries that have stepped up as a whole. So, like El Salvador, like Barbados.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And they've created their they're turning their whole currency into, say, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency,
yes,
which is all part of the blockchain.
Okay.
And the thing about the whole blockchain is it is decentralized.
Mm.
And it has, and what it means is, like, in that decentralized, so we already come from a decentralized culture.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so we're already a step ahead of the game because we already know how that all works.
Mm, exactly.
The other thing about the whole blockchain and everything is that it's also about creating a ledger.
Mm.
And this is a ledger that makes it transparent in the way financial dealings are done.
So this is a platform to nurture, protect our culture, but also financial vehicle.
Exactly.
What I'm picking up.
It becomes an economic empowerment.
Yes.
On a big scale.
Whoa.
Yes.
I've always said we are rich being black.
Oh.
We just got to get our skin in the game. We've got to get proactive in the different avenues that are out there. Yeah. Using our culture as the vehicle.
And being clever about it.
Being clever about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't give it away. We see too many people giving it away.
Yeah,
yeah, you know.
Exactly. Rapage and pillage in the cultural sense.
Exactly.
In the knowledge.
They think they're deadly and you're like, no, you just gave our culture.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's one thing to turn around and say, I'm going to be the cultural person working for Google.
But, sure.
But what is Google giving back to you?
Well, exactly. It's a two-way street sort of
exactly.
thing, you know.
Exactly.
But with respect to our First Nation people who are operating in our space, with respect to them, but some of them are running naive. Yeah, the intentions are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, heart and spirit is all good, but the knowledge of how the so-called system works in the white man world, naive to it.
Exactly, you know? And I think also we've been had so much colonization, 250 years of colonization.
Mm. Hello.
Yeah, so, and there's 25 years in a generation.
Mm. And the non-Indigenous people have been trained for the last 250 years how to rapage and pillage.
Exactly.
Our mob.
Exactly.
You know, and talk forked tongue.
Exactly.
To get what they want, to make their billions.
And that fork turns into a knife.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
Yeah.
This is powerful, my sister. And there's three of you in the team, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Lydia and...
Lydia Miller, Bibi Barber and myself.
Okay, lovely. And, this is not a woman's group.
No.
They just happen to be there. More power to you, girls.
The thing is, we are all intelligent and talented
just
women.
Just happen to be females.
That's
and
right.
And girls can do anything, but more power to you. But male, I'm getting excited here.
But it's, in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's the thing is, like, the you know, our team, we've also got Aboriginal and Torres Islander men.
Yeah, beautiful, yes.
You know, okay. as attachés.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. So creating this, how far are we away from this becoming reality, so to speak, or were you out with it? And how do the grassroots people get involved? And are we talking about your cultural people, your tribal people, or is this across the nation for all First Nation people, all 250-odd tribes?
Yeah. All across the nation.
We can template it.
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing you should always do, I believe, is go home to your own people and ask them what they think. So that's why I went home to Mur.
Yeah, good.
You know, and I asked them because it's, you know, my grandmother came from Murray Island, from Mur, and it was the culture I was raised in.
Yes.
And when I came to the mainland, we were raised in our Aboriginal culture, which I'm so grateful for because having the balance of both worlds.
Exactly.
And so, and that is the importance here is to bring that balance together. But it is, we've got 250 nations.
Sure, exactly.
And we want to make sure that we get this right. So we're working with lawyers.
Okay.
We're making sure that, and we're working with IP lawyers and we're working, you know, and some of the lawyers have said to us, you know, like, we'll work pro bono for you if you'll come and work pro bono for us, Vanessa. And, you know, as a social epidemiologist, like, okay, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
What do you want? Let's
do it. There's the two-way street.
Yep.
Not taking something from me, but I'm taking something from you too.
No, it's reciprocity.
Mm. Yes,
we give it back to our people all the time.
Reciprocity, yes, yes, yes.
And the other thing about, when we talk about giving back, the other thing I wanted to yarn about, in my hat as a cultural broker, because I've also got another company or project that I've set up, it's a project called Gub Sagir.
Gub Sagir, and explain?
Well, Gub Sagir is like the northeast wind.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what it means. And, you know, the northeast wind, as we all know, is that beautiful, calm wind that just brings with it...
life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful wind. And in
oh, Murray got goosebumps.
Yeah, and in parts
on my
of,
goosebumps.
on top of goosebumps. and throughout Asia, it's the same meaning. It's the wind of good fortune.
Yes. Yeah. So can First Nation people invest in this concept? How's that work?
So what we're doing with Gubsager is that we're so my colleagues and I'm working with some Chinese Australian investors, and what we're doing is we've been talking to the Torres Strait, and we're just discussing about how we can actually create projects that enhance sovereignty.
Yeah.
So we're not doing the whole thing of rape and pillage. We're actually standing there and saying, well, what do you guys want? How can we meet you halfway? You know, if you've got the land, we don't want to buy the land. How do we lease the land so that you continuously get rent?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Royalty income.
Well, for 99
exactly,
years.
Exactly, yes.
So, and that money can go into a community centre or a gym or solar panels for all the houses.
And if we're talking about the land that's been taken away from us, the Australian government, the Commonwealth, cannot afford to pay back what they owe black people. And if we're talking interest, well, it's way out of the ballpark. So here's the clean slate in the regard to the decision we make for moving forward, and here's the rules of engagement.
Exactly, and we need to change the economic model.
Yeah.
Because all too often our people go, I've got the land, oh, we need the money, and they sell it. And it's like, no, stop.
Exactly.
We own the land, now we're going to rent it to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And we are still the landowners and the landlords of our land.
Yes.
And anything you build on that, you need to check in with us. Because it's like a rental. Mm. If you rent a house, you can't go around and dig a hole.
No. Get permission
first. You've got to get permission.
Exactly.
You can't just go and hang a painting on the wall.
You can't extend the garage.
No. You can't put stairs coming down because you just want to.
That's right.
You can't dig a hole for a pool.
You can't be big note in your crack.
That's
you know,
exactly
without
right.
asking for permission.
And that's what I'm trying to build in here.
Oh, deadly.
So we have a new economic model
deadly.
Where we have sovereign rights. We empower our people.
Deadly. Fantastic. And you look at your profession, social immunologist, and working down in Sydney, not so much for First Nation organisation, just for mainstream all your life, yeah?
No. So
universities?
I worked for University of Sydney.
Okay, sure.
I was at University of Queensland, then Griffith Uni, and then University of Sydney. Prior to that, I was at Education Queensland. But as a social epidemiologist for the last 18 years, but my focus was on Indigenous health. That was my major.
Sure.
Everything I did was in line with the community controlled. I did my whole PhD focused on the Aboriginal community controlled and how they actually balanced our kinship.
Sure, beautiful. Yep.
And so that's what I knew I couldn't do anything with data or technology unless I could balance kinship.
But with that professional vehicle, the JOB. That you were doing for universities, you're just taking your profession for your people now.
Yes,
and
more
use
so.
That as the vehicle, so to speak.
Exactly.
Which is empowering not only to you as an individual, but for your mob.
Exactly.
For all our mobs.
Yeah.
This is too deadly, my sister. So how far are we out from it? I mean, that's the question. I mean, you're getting a web page set up.
Yes, I've
then
got.
Then where from there? What,
so I've already had the with Gubsager. I've already sent a business plan to the Torres Strait.
Yes.
To traditional. I went and spoke to traditional landowners first.
Yes.
Because too many times everybody goes and speaks to government or the leaders on the land, and no one talks to traditional landowners.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
So I've gone from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And that's not that the decision is now with them.
Yeah.
So that's out of my hands now. So.
And if they say no. What's plan B?
Well, I will find other avenues.
Sure, exactly. But respecting the decision from the elders.
Of course.
Yes.
But see, I also am going to talk to the tradition. Like, I've spoken to the traditional landowners.
Yep.
And I went home to my own people first.
Yep.
And, like, I waited to hear what they would say. And when they said to me, yeah, go on, we want to do this.
Yeah.
So I've already got traditional landowner support.
Yeah.
So if the people in council or in government say no, then I'm being transparent. It's not me that's holding it up. It's the government. It's their own. Again, it goes back to that conversation.
Exactly.
Our people, being ignorant.
And arrogant. Yes, that's
and
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And not thinking about the people at the grassroots.
We're going to have more yarns about this, my sister. You've been on this program a couple of times now. Now that you've come home, do utilise this program. This is a very important vehicle that you're building here, and we want to be part of that conversation to educate our mob. And like I said, template across this country, if not globally, for all First Nation people.
Exactly.
The rape and pillage to all First Nation people on this globe is horrendous.
Exactly.
It needs to stop.
It needs
to
stop.
In the 21st century.
That's right.
Exactly.
Are You OK needs to be more than just a physical
Thank
presence.
You. We are You OK? And a big shout out to all our beautiful people out there. Are You OK? That's the question you need to ask as well. But there's a beautiful yarn here with Sister Vanessa Lee Armat, social epidemiologist, and a beautiful platform vehicle that she's building. And we'll be yarning more. But thank you for the yarn, my sister. And we'll talk soon, eh?
Yes. Thank you all.
All right. Too deadly. Two beautiful yarn there. Look out for an educated black person. And there's one in the studio right now. I'm not talking about the bully one. I'm talking about the beautiful lady across from me. That's Vanessa Lee Armat. Have you saying yarn up strong here. National Talk Black. Daily number 1-800-422-416.
When I was born, I wasn't a citizen of this country. It said so in the Constitution. In fact, no black person born before 1967 was a citizen of this country. When I grew up under what they call the assimilation policies, where they took away 1 in 6 Aboriginal children, my cousins, my family, my friends. My mum, she kicked the ass of a mining company, kicked it all over this great country, fighting for her land. She was fighting for her land and for her culture and for her voice. When I became a man, I got to see the world through a mother's tears, a strange and beautiful sight, because I got to see the after effects of when a person dies in jail. I started to wonder who I was and who made me so hurt, who put so many scars on my soul. And I started to wonder who made me who I am, who made me who I am, who made me who I am, who made me who I am. I am an angry man. Well, I'm a boy, 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 I'm a boy from the bush, you know. Young girl sits on a train and wonders if she's insane when she thinks of the way her father's hands touched her body the night before. So she plunges a needle into a vein and tries to ease a pain. Something I reckon's been done a million, million times before. And as she slips off into the everlasting dark, I'm sure I heard her whisper, shh. Who made me who I am? I am an angry woman. Well, I'm a girl. I'm a girl, I'm a girl from the streets. Who made me who I am an angry woman. Well, I'm a girl, 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 I'm a girl from the streets. Young boy walks through the park with a knife in his pocket. They tell me he's going hunting. And a businessman leaves a business lunch way out of business hours and walks through the park in a business type of way. He becomes the hunted. Later in the night, you hear an ambulance siren screaming out as a police sergeant locks up the boy with blood on his hands. And young boy's eyes, they seem to whisper, who made me who I am? I am an angry man. Well, I'm a boy, 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 I'm a boy from the streets. I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy from the streets. Sits in his lawyer office contemplating his one charity case for the month and looks at his Rolex and picks up the phone and calls his wife. Who made me who I am? I am a wealthy man. Well, I'm a man of the law. The politician sits in his politician office doing those politician type of things and sees a photograph of himself from some long dead street march and says, Where did the idealistic youth in me go? Well, hell, I don't know. Hell, I don't know. Hell, I don't know. Who made me who I am? I am an honest man. Well, I'm a politician. Who made me who I am? I am an honest man. Well, I'm a politician. Somewhere in one of those treeless overnight suburbs sits a single mother reading a two-day-old newspaper, and she cries.
Who Made Me Who I Am? That's Richard Franklin, and look, a deadly track there, and more like a commentary as such, but beautiful questions and beautiful yarns, and getting to know that person in the mirror. And speaking of that, this is your daily program, National Talk Black, Trendy Trevor and Mike here, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live here, First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. And it is a tool, a vehicle you mob can use. National Talk Black, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Come to have a chat now with Deadly Uncle, Indigenous Elder, Graham Brady. He heads up a Kunjul Men's Group here in Cairns. And our topic today, well, it is Thursday, 8th of September, and it's Are You OK Day for 2002. So a yarn here, mental health yarn, with Uncle Graham Brady. A very good morning, my brother. How are you, Uncle?
Yeah, really good, eh, Trevor? And good morning to everybody out there.
Today, Uncle, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay. Both sides, mum and dad side, dad side, Gogo Yalanji.
Yes.
Jeepra and Gogo Yalanji, Western. Mm. Yalanji Bama. And down south there for my beautiful mum, we are Kalali. Kalali people, Thargamindo, southwestern Queensland.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much, Uncle, coming to the program. Let's quickly yarn about Kunjul, a men's group here in Cairns. You head that up. Tell us about how that came about, how you're travelling, and that in itself is a good platform for Are You OK? And empowering our warriors of today. Yep.
Yeah, it actually has a sad beginning. Mm. And for those who are listening, it was the death of our son through suicide.
Yeah.
Before he took his life, me and him used to yarn.
Yeah.
He was beautiful.
Yeah.
Very deep thinker, very astute in his thinking. And one of the main things he kept on yarning, and I've probably seen that as a cry for help in disguise. Mm. He said to me a few times, Dad, we have no men's group here in Cairns. There is no grassroots men's group that we can sit down and yarn about anything, how we can sit down and put our concerns across. So it actually came out of the yarn that me and him had.
Well, and his spirit has turned it into fruition.
My word, my word.
He is operating from the other side, Uncle. Yeah. He's with you.
I deal with the living, and when he was alive, meaning would have big talk, not just me and him, but his brothers and his sisters, because we as a family, we really take and value our family, and we always take on board how each one of us are running, how we are traveling, and this is actually Kunjul Men's Group is actually a legacy from him, and. He obviously had talks with other of his brothers. We have extended brotherhood. He has an extended brotherhood that have Ireland brothers.
Mm.
And one of those was BJ Sabadi.
Yes.
And BJ, after the passing of our son, it was actually, you know, had to let a bit of time, the grieving period have its time.
Mm.
And he came back to me about maybe a few months later, 8 or 9 months later, and he said, Uncle, we do what Wawo Kawanji was saying.
Yeah.
How he was saying, let us start this men's group.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, come on, my boy.
And how long have you been traveling? How long have you been traveling with this?
4 years.
Yes.
Actually, it's our fifth year.
Yep.
4 years, no funding.
Okay.
We're all voluntary ways of operating, out-of-pocket expenses, all
okay.
that stuff.
Yep.
And as it progressed into the second year, we started getting donations because people started seeing what we was on about, mm-hmm. how it was a legacy for our son, mm-hmm. and how the importance for this was unfolding. So when we was in the second year, that's when the actual donations
okay.
started to flow in, and it helped us because then we was able to get small things like barbecues
yes.
and hold events.
Yes.
Small events. They were community events such as Cup Murray master classes, spear making, all these type of practical things.
Delin, how often do you meet them? Once a week? Twice a week?
Yeah, it's once a week. This is the meeting.
Yep.
Wednesday at Irene Street.
Okay.
6:30 to 8:30. And the programs adjoined to that is the Rise Up program on Thursdays. Today being Thursday, the men are over at Yarraba. Mm. With the Rise Up program, and we have the Connect program for the younger ones.
Cool.
And we've just finished a bayan, which is a frame to the bark hut made out of lawyer cane,
yeah.
and that's going to be donated to the botanical gardens, and they're very keen on picking that up this afternoon. So we're going to cart that, and the younger ones
yes.
that come and help in making that, because it is transfer of traditional knowledge, how to make a structure out of loy cane, and the one was passed on to these younger ones.
Mm.
They see it as something positive because it takes away what's in their minds, something that was always repetitious, especially, you know, with devices and everything. And when we teach these young ones, we tell them, you need to replace what has been repetitious in your mind. You cannot play the same old record over and over again.
Yes. You need to stimulate your mind.
You need other avenues. That's right.
So, look, more power to you. Kunjul Droop is happening here in Cairns. So we have Uncle Graham Brady here, Indigenous Elder, and he heads up the Kunjul Men's Group. Meth Health Yarn for Are You OK? Today, Thursday, 8th of September, is Are You OK? So that's the question you need to be asking all peoples out there.
Yeah.
If you're looking, if you know a family member or you know a friend or you're just looking at someone looking sad, just pop that question, Are You OK? People hesitate because they think, well, I don't want to go into it because if they're not OK, I'm not a psychologist. We just need to pop that question. You don't need to be a professional,
no.
but just have a pair of ears and have your eyes and heart open when you ask that question, yes?
Yeah, and there are obvious signs and signals that come with this because you know the person. It's usually someone that's very close to you
yeah.
that you start identifying signs and signals. And one of the major signs is that when someone is dealing with an internal problem, I've noticed this. Across many of my loved ones, is that they stop enjoying the things that they usually enjoy. They don't do it anymore.
Yes.
You know, that's sort of one sign that I've noticed.
That's a good medicine. If you are passionate about something, whether it be fishing, jogging, riding a bike,
yes,
constantly do that.
Yes.
If that's your passion,
yes.
If that's where you feel at ease.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Use
yeah.
it as your vehicle, your medicine to make you better.
And that's right. Mm. And it's actually good for your body, stimulates your mind, stimulates your body. Mm. So when we see the signs that they're not enjoying the regular things that they enjoy on a day-to-day, weekly, monthly basis, something's wrong.
Sure.
And so identifying that one there, and this is another marker too, is when they are withdrawn, and they keep on saying, I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for our listeners who just tuned in, talking to Uncle Graham Brady here, Digi's Elder, and he's with the Kunjul Group, men's group here in Cairns. But we're talking about Are You Okay, which is Are You Okay Day today. But in actual fact, Uncle Graham, Are You Okay Day is not only Thursday, 8th of September, it's every day.
It's every day. My word. And it's an observance that should be utilised by everybody every day, because our loved ones are usually the first ones that we see this sign or symptom in. It's usually those, because you start, your gut feeling will pick up on it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be a psychologist.
No.
Pop the question.
No.
You know? And then they can lead that yarn into bigger and better things. For mob out there, look, you're feeling that way inclined, Lifeline 1311114, Kids Helpline 1-800-551-800. But let's not forget Black on Black, 13 yarn. If you want to be yarning to a black person, and you're a black person, of course, 139276. That's 13 yarn. So we're pushing those numbers out there, reaching out. Are you okay? And we ask that question every day, 365 days a year, not only on Thursday, 8th of September, Uncle.
Yes. And along with the signs and signals, there's response and reply.
Yep.
And one effective way of doing that is if you notice somebody that is out of sorts, yes, and is beginning to withdraw within themselves, their appearance will show it too, because they look unkept. And it usually shows up in this too, is their place might be, their room is messy.
Yeah.
Before they were very meticulous in their appearance, or meticulous in where their things went in their room, and they start to become messy. And once you notice that one, a response and reply to that way how they are changing, it probably is to say, are you okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Read and between the lines is what you're saying.
Yes, and make them comfortable. So you become approachable for them, not to open up, because we know that things do not happen automatically. There's a softly, softly sensitive approach to all matters.
Yes.
And this one here is a scourge on our people.
Yeah, beautiful, brother, beautiful. So pop the question, you mob, and like I said, reach out, and you don't have to be a professional to do it, but reaching out, beginning is half done, and then we can lead our loved ones closer to the light, so to speak, Uncle, because they're in a dark place.
Yes, yes, and it's literally is dark, because when the lights go out, where do you go? You go under the blankets. Yeah. Where do you go? You withdraw into yourself. Where do you go? You take yourself away from activities that you thoroughly enjoy, and they don't become something that is meaningful in your life anymore. So we've got to replace what is meaningful to them. And one of the ways of replacing that, or to show them, we've got to say they have meaning.
Yeah.
Their life has meaning.
Exactly. Exactly. And whatever's happening in your life right now that's making you sad, it's only at this point in time. In 5 months' time, in 6 months' time, 6 days' time, in 2 years' time, it doesn't matter. It wasn't as bad as what you thought it was.
Well, that brings to the understanding on existence of human being. Human being only live one day at a time. We cannot live in the past, and we cannot live in the future.
Sure.
So today...
Yes.
Being Thursday, are you okay day, is the day to act.
Yes. Beautiful. Powerful words. Uncle Graham, good yarning with you. Always good to catch up with you. And you do a program here on Bummer Brippin, the local program here. And love your work. Keep doing what you're doing. And strong warriors of the 21st century. There's loved ones here for you.
Yeah, just like to further that announcement, every Monday night we do a pre-record during the previous week. And... it is aired 7 o'clock Monday nights. We call it Gwoko Yarral. Gwoko Yarral means to talk straight and talk the truth. Yes. Please tune in to that, because many, many topics that we talk about, and Are You Okay is definitely one of them.
Too deadly. Uncle Graham Brady, you take care. One love. All the best to your family, and we'll yarn soon.
Sweet to everybody out there. Love you.
Oh, too deadly. Beautiful yarn. Uncle Graham Brady here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
Back, this two-lane road was an older track. Your dogs are gone, taken to the pound. A free and cold, they were roaming round in a wrong world. A wrong world. Wrong world. A roaming in a wrong world. The heat and flies don't upset your pace. A humble cry and a startled face.
Yeah, that's Wrong World, the Big Room Brothers, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong New Mob, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari. Coming to you live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, here at BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Now, Thursday Island Ambulance Station officially opens. Also talking about the reveal of new Indigenous vehicle wrap that took place yesterday. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Mindy Thomas, our Queensland Ambulance Service. On the line, Mindy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Mindy?
I'm actually based down in here in Meanjin in Brisbane. So okay. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Turrbal and Jagera peoples, our traditional custodians of our land down here, but also pay respects to all of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, elders, past, present, emerging, of all of your listeners, and yes. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved with your show today.
Yeah, beautiful, Mindy. Thank you. Lovely introduction. Thank you so very much. So congratulations. Big shout out to TI, Thursday Island Ambulance Station officially opens. And let's talk about that, but also about the reveal of the new Indigenous vehicle, RAP that is, that took place yesterday. Please enlighten us.
Yeah, so I've been formally being able to open the Torres Strait Islander Ambulance Station on TI. Ani Didi Wap up there is one of our amazing advocates and for the ambulance service, and she received her 30-year service medal as well.
Whoa, so congratulations,
a very
yes.
Proud Torres Strait Islander woman who has been promoting the ambulance and the services that we provide in her community for a very long time. So it's an amazing achievement for her. And,
yes.
And we plan to keep her around for a long time to come.
Another 30 years at least.
At least another 30. I'll let her know you said that. and then, yeah, yesterday I had the absolute pleasure to come up to Cairns and with the minister and our Deputy Commissioner, Kari Arborn, launch our new vehicle wrap. So the two vehicles are our field officer vehicles that are based out of Cooktown and Kawanyama.
Yes.
And so they are wrapped with the Caring for Our Mob Together artwork that was developed specifically for Queensland Ambulance. And we did that artwork as one of the first initiatives from our brand new Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Cultural Safety Unit. So it is a way for us to connect with our communities and just share in the health journey in a positive, inclusive way. So the vehicles look amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. And to look at the vehicle like so, it also states to our people out there that we are in this together, you know, and they can reach out for us. And it just makes a black person feel at home and feel connected.
Yeah, and that's the broader picture that we want to incorporate within our cultural safety unit, and why we have the unit established is to better build those relationships and pathways with our communities and with our people. We all know that the health journey can be quite frightening, so if we can create a safe place and space for people to be able to go through that health journey with us in the ambulance service and look after our community and our staff better, then this is one step forward to making that happen.
Exactly. And now there's a lot of employment of First Nation people with the ambulance. I know up here in Far North Queensland there is. Would that be the case across the country?
I can't say across the country. For the ambulance service, we are on a forward journey to better improve the employment opportunities of our First Nations people within the service and provide opportunity. So currently within the ambulance service, our percentage of Indigenous staff who identify as being of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent is currently about 2.34%. So part of our, we want to increase that number, obviously, but we also want to make it a safe place for staff to feel confident that they can safely identify.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a really big and important aspect of the cultural safety unit's agenda within the Queensland Ambulance Service. And as you said, we have a number of employment opportunities. We currently have a number of Indigenous paramedic cadets working out of Far North Queensland. Good. So, and across the state, we have 57 cadets currently in total, and they will train to become paramedics. So up your way in Far North Queensland, we've got cadets in like Cooktown and Bamaga on TI, at Ravenshoe, Mossman, Karanda, Yarrabah, and then across the rest of the state as well. So it's an opportunity for people to consider employment with the ambulance service.
Yes.
But we also have other opportunities within our 000 operation centres as emergency medical dispatchers.
Is that under the umbrella of ambulance as well, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the
beautiful.
Ambulance service incorporates a number of positions, not just paramedics. So we have mental health clinicians who are registered nurses. We also have our public service arm, so if people want to be accountants or media, journalists. So, you know, we have opportunities that are available across the breadth of employment opportunities.
Fantastic. Mindy, just to quickly enlighten us regarding the Thursday Island Ambulance Station officially open, how long has there been an ambulance station? Has it just come now, or has it been closed down, or renovation? Or
just a renovation.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We've had an ambulance response
of
on
course.
TI for a very long time.
Okay.
And it was just we obviously, due to COVID, weren't able to do the official launch.
Okay, gotcha. So I mean, you've got a 30-year-old staff person there, so of course they wouldn't be operating underneath a coconut tree.
We do work quite closely, obviously, with the health centre over on TI and share that space there with them. So this was just the official launch after we rebuilt
renovation. Thank you. Lovely. Beautiful.
To make it more appropriate for the current environment.
Because I'm yarning with you. I'm thinking, sister, this is the 21st century. Don't tell me you never had an ambulance station up there in Thursday Island. Yeah, been a while since I've been up here, but you know.
No, just a refurb and a rebuild to make it better suited and also expand it, because obviously the service requirement on TI has changed over the last 30 years, and we needed some more space to fit the new vehicles in. And, and you know, our ambulances themselves have changed with the time, so that we are able to, you know, fit more units in, make it a little bit taller to fit the height of the vehicle and that sort of stuff.
Beautiful. Mindy, thank you very much for your yarn. Congratulations. Big shout out to Thursday Island. And also fantastic to hear about the vehicle wrap. Indigenous vehicle wrap, and like I said, it's a great platform to enhance our people to connect with the ambulance. Thank you very much, Mindy. You take care, keep smiling, and we'll talk soon.
No worries, Trevor. Thank you so much, and hope you all have a beautiful day.
Bye, sis.
Okay, bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Mindy Thomas, her name is, Queensland Ambulance Service, and talking about the Thursday Island Ambulance Station officially open after the renovation, big shout out, and also talking about the reveal of the new Indigenous vehicle wrap that took place yesterday up here in Far North Queensland. To Delia Mob, have you say Yarn Up Strong, about 6 minutes left on the program. National Talkback, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Too Deadly, Jessica Mowboy, I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today. I thank you very much for your company, Mob. Big shout out to our Deadly, guest, Vanessa Lee Ahmet, and also Uncle Graham Brady. Had Deadly on there as well with Mindy Thomas, Queensland Ambulance Peace. Trendy Trev sign off. Thank you very much. Yarn soon. You can always text the brother 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We've got the news coming up very soon. Thank you for your company, Mob. Too Deadly.